Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
And on this Monday after Super Bowl Sunday, it's congratulations to all those Giants fans out there and condolences to you New England Patriots fans. And football season is over. But at one point, the Boston-New York rivalry in the Super Bowl got completely out of hand last night.
Giants.
Patriots.
Eli.
Brady.
We don't agree on much.
For example, the Red Sox.
Yankees.
Beans.
Bagels.
We both support the Second Amendment.
And believe America must do more to keep guns out of the hands of criminals. You know, over 600 mayors across the country agree on common sense reforms that would save lives.
That's New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, whose personal worth is north of $15 billion. He can afford to buy a Super Bowl spot. And Boston Mayor Tom Menino in a message that seems to call for gun control. As the mayor suggests, Boston and New York aren't the only cities where gun violence is a scourge. And yet the ad explicitly endorses the Second Amendment right to bear arms. Given the political nature of any message like this during something like a Super Bowl in a polarizing election year, and the reputation of gun control as a wedge issue for many Americans, is this a new twist on the gun control debate? Joining us is writer Dan Baum, who's writing a book about guns and the people who love them. He joins us from New Orleans. Dan, did you hear that ad last night?
I did.
And does it seem to you like they're on the fence on gun control, supporting the Second Amendment, but yet calling for these unspecified reforms?
Well, everybody says he supports the Second Amendment. It's like saying you support motherhood. The difference is in how we interpret the Second Amendment. So I expected them to say that. I think what they were trying to do was have this ad come up, have a bunch of gun guys around the country yell at the screen, yell something impolite at Michael Bloomberg, because he is a known quantity among serious gun rights activists, and have their wives look at him and say, well, what's wrong with that? He says he supports the Second Amendment, and he's talking about common sense gun laws, and 600 mayors support him. And I think they were trying to get a little bit of a conversation going in people's houses.
Did that happen in your house, Dan?
It did not happen where I was watching.
Right.
No.
There we go.
The problem here is, I mean, there's a number of problems. One is that Michael Bloomberg, as I say, is a known quantity, and he's a guy on the record as not only wanting to tell people what to do with their guns, but how much salt they can eat and where they can smoke and how much fat they can eat. And so he is not the best messenger for this, because he's kind of known as a come in your house and tell you how to live kind of politician, and gun guys bristle at that. In fact, if you look at all the things mayors against illegal guns want to do, they're all pretty mild, and none of them have to do with taking away people's guns or restricting even how people can buy them. It all has to do with better background checks and mental illness in the database and stuff that I would think if the majority of gun guys really sat down and looked at what they want to do, they'd say, well, I don't have any problem with that. But Bloomberg is a problem for this movement. I mean, I wish he would put Jerry Wood, the Republican mayor of Roswell, Georgia, up as the public face of Mayors Against Illegal Guns. But Bloomberg is not a guy to let somebody else be the public face, and so this is what we've got.
Well, let's talk about that. Dan, let's just talk about that for a second. Why would Mayor Bloomberg take this on, given, and you know, you actually make a really interesting case, he is becoming the mayor who stands for government intervention in people's lives, guns, smoking,
right,
all
right.
sorts
which,
of things.
Which, you know, and you got to understand, and I'm sure you do, in this country, when we talk about guns, we're not really talking about guns. We're talking about a worldview that has to do with personal sovereignty and the rights of the individual versus the interests of the collective. And you know, so guns are this totem for a worldview. And Bloomberg represents the opposition to that worldview. He is all about the individual being subordinate to the good of the collective. But in his case, he's got a point. New York has very strong gun laws, And it suffers from states that have weak gun laws, because guns are bought in weak gun law states and travel to New York and kill people on the streets of New York. And the mayor of New York has every right to want to defend the people that he serves.
And it's all about,
you know, trying to get laws passed to make it harder to, for example, to buy guns in Virginia, where it's relatively easy to get a gun, and bring them to New York.
Understood. And I'm just wondering, you describe guns as a totem for personal liberty, and I think that is a reasonably compelling argument. But if you go to places like Chicago, where 30 young people have died in gun violence just in the last 4 or 5 weeks, it becomes a little more concrete than simply a totem.
It does, but, you know, Chicago has some of the toughest gun laws in the country, and it has some of the worst gun violence, and cause and effect is a very hard thing to untangle. Does it have – I mean, the gun guys would say it has high gun violence because it has tough gun laws. It doesn't have tough gun laws because it has high gun violence. So we get in these circular arguments, and I would argue that what we're arguing about is something bigger than guns. It's part of a national conversation we're having in all kinds of ways. We're not very good at having this national conversation, and so we pick these hot-button issues that we really are never going to make any serious progress on. I mean, the fact is, what neither side of the gun debate is going to tell you is that gun violence is at a record low in the United States. I mean, gun violence has dropped in half in the past 20 years. It is one of the unalloyed good news stories of the past 20 years.
That's so interesting.
And neither side is going to talk about it. Because the gun controllers don't want to talk about it because they keep wanting to talk about this scourge of violence. And the gun guys don't want to talk about it because they keep using high crime as the reason why everybody ought to have a gun to protect themselves.
And it's fundraising. So, it's fundraising for both sides. Before we go, you know, the last time you were on the program was when Gabby Giffords was shot in Tucson, Arizona. What you're saying, really, and it's kind of the takeaway, is that the debate just has not advanced, even given tragic situations like that or messages from Michael Bloomberg.
The debate has not advanced. The debate has not advanced in this country on drugs. I wrote a book about drug policy 20 years ago, and we're exactly where we were then now. So we're not very good at advancing these debates.
Dan Baum is writing a book about guns and the people who love them. We'd love to have you join this conversation. What did you think of the Menino and New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg message in the Super Bowl last night about gun violence? Is it enough for you? Is it an outrage? Is it too much intervention in people's lives? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment, takeaway.org. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.